Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Okay, welcome everybody to the first episode, long overdue. This is like our third shot at doing this. First episode of the 1973 podcast. I'm your host, AC, and I'll be rolling along with all things Gen X and Gen X perspective. We got a good group. These guys have known them forever, and we're all usually on the same page. And we're here to talk all things sports, wrestling related, and everything in between. So let's start by introducing, we'll start with Tom. And Tom, take it away.
Hey, my name's Tom. Been friends with Andy for like 25 years. I'd like to say my sports specialty is probably football, hockey, and baseball. And I'm not as much of a wrestling fan as I used to be, but I the old stuff I can handle. And I'm huge into all things pop culture.
Ed, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on? I'm Ed. I've known these two characters for quite some time, probably close to about 25 years plus. So pretty much my specialties are, you know, I like sports and talk a little bit of new school wrestling type thing, along with Tom. Definitely know a little bit more about the older days, if you will. Sometimes
we are coming from an old school perspective.
For sure.
All born in 73, so that's how we got the name 1973 podcast. So hopefully, as the weeks go on, we'll get a little better. Maybe we'll get some better, you know, maybe some sponsorship. I'd like to start off by giving a shout out the hat, our buddy Scott, Brock Street Brewery in Canada. Scott, if you're listening, throw us some sponsorship. Here we go. We're starting at the ground floor. I don't know what I'm doing, but here we go. So we were tossing around different things to talking about. And first thing we want to talk about is, you know, the outcome of the Super Bowl. I don't have a lot to add too much with that, but I'm sure these guys watched it. And we've been saving the talk for, you know, after the Super Bowl. So you guys want to add something to, you know, what happened with the Super Bowl this year?
Well, I thought it was pretty
good. Go ahead, Ed.
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, you know, I thought it was a, you know, pretty exciting Super Bowl. You know, I thought both sides of the ball played really, really well. I think Jalen Hurts really kind of showed who he was. I mean, you know, 3 rushing touchdowns and a passing. I mean, that's pretty, you know, he played wide open, you know. And then Mahomes was just Mahomes. And, you know, Andy Reid really just did a great job in the Super Bowl. You know, I think that the flag that they called at the end, I mean, you know, one play doesn't make the Super Bowl. However, you know, I mean, the referees at that point really kind of kept their whistles in their pockets and their flags in their pants. So it's kind of that one kind of was a little questionable. But I mean, overall, I mean, I think it was just a great Super Bowl. I mean, and, you know, the grass had nothing to do with what the outcome was or anything. You know, that's just silly. And, you know, I mean, I think both teams played really, really hard. Probably one of the better Super Bowls that's been out there. Tommy, what do you think, man?
I agree with the – I mean, they both played really well. Like, the refereeing, it seems like every playoff game this year, they actually made a call that – not to say it was a bad call, but it was a critical – in a critical situation where, to me, you let them play. It's – unless it's blatant, then you call it. And, I mean, technically, that was a holding, but – I don't know. I just think you let him play. And I agree with you. I mean, Hurts, he's an OU boy, so I like him. But and I'm a fan of his. But I just I was impressed. I just thought they should have ran the ball a little bit more just to get the heat off of him. I don't know if him, like at the end, you kind of see his shoulder must have been bothering him, because on the last Hail Mary, he didn't really have much on that throw. But
I don't know. For sure.
I really think that Mahomes, he's the best quarterback in the league right now. I mean, the guy can create, and when you think about it, all he has is Travis Kelce, really, as like a dominant guy. Don't get me wrong. Juju Smith and Kadarius Toney played well in the game, but they're not really anyone that you game plan for. I mean, Kelsey's really the only guy that you have to game plan for.
Oh, I agree. And then, you know, that Pacheco guy, that running back, I mean, he played a hell of a game.
Oh, yeah, know? Isaiah, yeah.
And I mean, the thing about it is that, man, he took a pretty big pop right there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he did.
That, I mean, it was clean. I'm so glad that they didn't call that as, like, you know, playing too hard of football, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, which is kind of becoming, like, you know, the thing of the present, you know? So, I mean, it was just nice to see, like, you know, on real grass, you know, it's kind of just nice. It just, I thought that, you know, it was, you know, it kept people's eyes on the game. And it was an exciting game, you know? And, that, and I mean, I think you can't ask for anything more, you know, for your last game of the season to be like that. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, and we can go look back to 85, you know, and that's what a blowout is.
Yeah. And I have to give credit to Phillies. I mean, as much as the people were complaining about the field, they showed that Hurts had changed his cleats. Now, it didn't come back to, I mean, they didn't win the game, but you would think that, I mean, I don't know if he was the only one, if they were just they showed him because he was a quarterback, but I think that played a big part of it. I mean, that may have been why they didn't run the ball. I don't really know what that was. They were a running team almost all season, but I don't know if they just figured they could pick on KC's cornerbacks or what. But
I was hoping that Christian Okoye was going to play, but just throwing it out there.
Throw a little Derek Thomas action.
Yeah, I was waiting for Mike Quick or Randall Cunningham or somebody I actually knew to show up. But I mean, just to add to, you know, the last time that I was paying attention to anything like that, but I guess I should, because I knew we were doing this. So, well, I want to ask you guys what you guys think about the sports betting now, like with the DraftKings and all that other stuff being so prominent. Do you feel that there's like any fix at all with some of that stuff? What's your take on that?
Go ahead, Ed.
I don't know, man. We all played the game, right? At some sort of level. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's hard to really seem like they could actually really do it. Sometimes it does give the impression that it is. But, I mean, I guess, you know, if you really take it back and you really look at it from, like what's right and what's true about it is, I mean, you're talking about professional coaches. This is what they do. They don't worry about anything else. All they have to do is worry about being, like, okay, being the best coach in football. You know, I mean, they have professional ways that they break down film now. Like, it's ridiculous. And I mean, I think a lot of it is that, you know, look, I mean, would you rather have this gambling money kind of go back into the government for roads and education and stuff like that? I guess, you know, if you want to look at like big, like long piece on it, you know, so I don't know. I mean, you can give instances where it looks really suspicious, but I mean, I don't know. It's hard to really see. But
I think it's so hard to fix a game. There's so many cameras around that it would get caught. I think it would have gotten caught at some point if it was something that was blatant. I mean, granted, the referees might be able to do something, but I think it's just too hard to actually get away with it. I think it something would have happened throughout the years where somebody would have gotten caught.
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, it's fun to go really conspiratorial with it and be like, nah, this is fixed. I'm telling you, nah, it's fixed.
So I don't know, man. I got to ask. So the football cards, right?
Yeah.
They come out on like a Tuesday.
Yep.
So all those scores are already like so close when the outcome comes out. So how can they predict the score that tight?
Those Vegas guys are so good. The sports bet, the bookies, and they are really, really good at, I mean, they are so close with what they, when they put these things out, it's hard to say because there's a lot of money involved, but I'd like to think I think the kid in me hopes that it's still legit.
Do you think out of all the sports that football is the easiest one to fix or one of the harder ones to fix? I mean, what would you
– I think it would probably be the hardest, to be honest with you.
Ed, what do you think?
I think from an outcome, probably yes. However, the thing about it is that I think that, you know, you said it at the beginning, the referees kind of can control the game because the thing is there is holding on every single play. And no matter what level of football, there's holding on every single play. You can't get away. So you can throw a holding flag and it changes the game and it kind of keeps things, you know, that way. But I don't know, man. I agree with Tom. Like, you know, the conspiracy guy in me loves it. Like, and says, yeah, they're fixing it. I don't know, man. That seems really tough, you know.
Do you think that as far as football goes, do you think they have the worst all-star game in pro sports? Do you think the Pro Bowl is like the worst one out of the four?
I mean, I really feel like that the, you know, you're playing flag football now. It takes away from the game, you know? I mean, I understand it. You know, the three of us, we never played at a really high level. These guys are like just incredible, like athletes, you know? And I mean, they're investments for these teams, you know? And I mean, you can truly see it when one of the better players goes down for a team. You can see how much of a difference that they make, you know? And these guys are professional football players, man. That's what they do. That's their living, you know? So, I don't know.
Well, as far as the All-Star games,
I think it's.
I think that as far as the All-Star games go, they've changed so much since, you know, we were kids and it was more about the game. And I never cared what the score was, but it seems like it's so gimmicky now, like with the shootouts and all that other stuff. I miss the old school skills competition where it was like you get the alumni game versus whoever the hometown team was. You know, you get to see the local heroes versus the NHL All-Stars of the past. I miss that. I miss the old school format of the fastest skater and out of shot. And I don't need to see, you know, all kinds of crazy get ups.
Trick shots.
Trick shots and all that stuff. I mean, I miss even the old school slam dunk contest the way it used to be. You know, that's Bud Webb won it. And, you know, Dominic versus Jordan. I miss all that stuff. I mean, I think less is more when it comes to that. I think it's too gimmicky, way too gimmicky, especially like the outdoor games. Like we went to that first one at Fenway. It was like cool. And then they started doing the stadium series for all teams that.
Yeah.
If you don't deserve an outdoor game, you know, so be it. I mean, stop throwing them where they don't belong just because you're trying to draw ratings or you're trying to get everybody in the mix. You know, I could go on and on with how watered down the leagues are now. I mean, that's a whole conversation in itself with how many teams are in the league. And, you know, you got guys that are like AHL quality in the NHL and they don't even belong there. And now that's a whole discussion too. So, I mean, as far as that goes, Tom, what's the thoughts on the current NHL, like with them adding more teams? What do you think?
I think it's terrible. I think they need to retract, if anything, or at least move teams like Arizona. They don't deserve to have a team right now. I mean, you're playing at a college rink and it only seats something like 5,000 fans. I mean, it's just, that's an embarrassment to the league. I don't know why Bettman went along with it. I don't know. I mean, maybe it was the board of governors that voted on it, but it was terrible. I mean, terrible idea when you have like Quebec that should have a team. I mean, there's no reason why they should not have a team right now.
Totally agree. That my heart is with them and Hartford. It always has been, always will be. I mean, I think, you know, the Whalers were the perfect other New England team. They had such a fan base when they won in 2006. That was almost like the Whalers Stanley Cup. They should have never moved. Greed always. Look at what Dallas, they left Minnesota and then just to put a team back there. The Jets, the same thing. Yeah, they've had two failed franchises in Atlanta, the Thrashers and the Flames. Mm-hmm. And when it works, it works. I don't know why they don't mock it. The AHL and see where the AHL teams do well and then build an NHL franchise there. I don't get it. I don't get why the league doesn't understand that there's certain teams that fans are drawn to, and the Whale is the one of them. They still sell in the top 10 best merchandise draws for the NHL every year, top 10. And, you know, all that vintage stuff, they it's low-hanging fruit with that.
Oh, yeah.
Ed, thoughts on the Whalers?
Well, I mean, how can you not remember the Whale?
Right.
I mean, right. You know, I mean, former, you know, World Hockey League team, you know, yep. They brought it into the NHL. You know, I think part of it is that, you know, I mean, there's only so much as far as population density and people that like hockey. And, you know, I mean, the whole piece with Arizona, I mean, it seems like they're going to be moving to a different market anyway.
Yeah. Two thoughts on bringing up the Whale is we had Bobby Hull passed away. And I wanted to bring that up too. The huge part of the Whale is coming into the NHL. He was the first guy to get paid $1 million for jumping to the World Hockey League. I mean, met him a couple times with the kids. Awesome. Very, very cool. I mean, not pretentious at all. Very, very good personality. Good with the fans. You know, he's had his personal problems behind the scenes with certain things. But, I mean, he always, from an outside perspective, true legend. Everybody likes to throw around the legend tag with a lot of things. And definitely a true Hall of Famer. I have an argument with people about who should be in the Hall of Fame and who shouldn't be. And there's guys that are waiting that don't get in, and other guys back in, and you're like, I don't get it. But you know, we can talk wrestling Hall of Fame too. That's crazy. You know, Johnny Rods and Coco Beware are in there, and other guys aren't. But we'll stay with the hockey. And you know, I was listening to Spit and Chicklets podcast, and they almost called it that Gary Bettman's trying to fix Phoenix to get the Connor Bedard pick. I don't know if either one of you guys heard that Biz had said something about that on the podcast about
no.
Him having a conversation with Gary Bettman on the down low. And they said that the fix is almost in to get, you know, Phoenix the first pick. So, and I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how it goes with, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. But we got about 10 minutes left. I just got the countdown, yeah. But you know, thoughts on that? Thoughts on Phoenix getting the first pick?
It would make them more enticing if they had, like you say, if they get Bedard, that'd be a lot more enticing to a possible new owner. I don't know if there's anyone who is like prospective owners out there, but that would help.
They're sitting in an arena it's a college arena.
It's horrible.
They've had what, 3 or 4 arenas already, and it's just tough.
They don't want to spend any money. They're trying to trade the defenseman there.
Chychrun.
Yep. And I mean, I love Keller. Keller's one of my favorite players, and
yeah,
it's horrible that he's stuck out there because people on the East Coast can never see how good he has been. Because they're always on at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a tough watch if you're an East Coast guy, and if you know, it's being a fan of anything West Coast, it's tough because if you get up and you work and you know to stay up till 1 in the morning to watch a game, I mean, it sometimes there's some snoozes to sit through. So I mean, I had seen the thing where, you know, they get Connor Bedard, and next thing you know, Austin Matthews wants to go back home, and all of a sudden they get a little bit of traction there to sell, and who knows? Yeah. Then they can move him to Hartford, and then we'll call it a day.
That would be great.
Yeah, they can relocate over there, but it's tough. The NHL, everybody doesn't love them like we do. And, you know, there's not a lot of good hockey coverage. I mean, even some of the coverage you get is kind of tough. So, and Ed, I'm sure the hockey coverage down there is even worse.
Yeah, I mean, we don't. The nice thing is that down here we do have the Mississippi Seawolves, and you know, they're kind of like what would be considered to be like a East Coast Hockey League kind of Sun Belt type of team.
Yep.
You know, they're not stuffing the place out like when they first started. But I mean, they're still for a minor league hockey team on a Friday night. You know, I'd say over half the building is filled. You know, and they do try to do like move the game along a little bit and that type of thing. So make it a little bit more interesting for people. But, you know, as far as like, you know, man, I get a Nashville feed and that's pretty much what I get, you know, yeah. Or I get on ESPN or TBS, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, it's, you know, it's like watching it. There's a ton of whistles and it's just tough to watch because it doesn't flow.
Yeah.
Some nights anyway.
Yeah. It's just my take on it, you know? Well, let me stop you there. We going to probably have to wrap this one up for this week. Okay. We got about a couple minutes left. And before we get cut off, I just want to say that this is long overdue. We're trying to get this going and, you know, try to subscribe, follow, do whatever you need to get us some likes. Let's go. Let's get this going.
Let's go.
Yeah. Let's get this going.
Let's have fun with it. Yeah, man.
Yeah. So until the next time we can get together. I'm signing this one off. So for TB and Big Ed, that's it for the first episode of the 1973 podcast. Later, fellas.
Later.
Have a good one. Have a good night, boys. See you. Have a good one.